Ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the point in our meeting where it's time for our public hearings. For those of you who are not frequent attenders at these Thursday night soirees here in Georgetown, our esteemed council has a few words of wisdom regarding the way in which we conduct our meetings and the way that we would like you to conduct yourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As was stated, this isn't the time and the place for the scheduled soiree, the scheduled public hearings. These proceedings will be conducted on the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission that were adopted in 1998. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. All persons present are invited to stay throughout the commission meetings and view the commission's deliberations and voting on the pending applications. In addition, these proceedings are broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Everyone in attendance should conduct themselves in an orderly fashion. No applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please don't do anything that distracts from these proceedings and follow the directions of the chairman. If you have a cell phone, pager, beeper, or other telephonic device with you, we ask that you take the time now to switch it off or turn it to silent service. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman. Then the director will review the application and any agency comments that's been received. The applicant will then present its case to explain the application to the commission and may present any exhibits and testimony that supports the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. Then the chairman will invite public comment. Supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there's a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that that person identify themselves and speak first. When speaking to the commission, please identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. The chairman does have the authority to set reasonable time limits on public comment or to terminate testimony that's irrelevant or unduly repetitive. The commission may ask questions of supporters and opponents, but no direct questioning or cross-examination of witnesses or applicants will be permitted. All questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission may direct the question to the appropriate person if the commission thinks it's necessary to do so. There will be no rebuttal by the applicant unless requested or permitted by the commission. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir. What exactly is a soiree?
I'm not sure.
Mr. Willard's here this evening.
Yeah, we can ask him.
Maybe he'll know. Our first public hearing is conditional use 1677 Tidewater Utilities Incorporated.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 RPC Agriculture Residential District Residential Plan Community for a regional water distribution facility to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 1,800ths of an acre more or less, lying west of Road 346B, approximately 4,400 feet north of Route 346. For the benefit of the commission, I passed down a large site plan for this application and survey. Earlier this week, the applicants provided us with an exhibit booklet containing information about the project team and executive summary, references to the zoning ordinance, permitted use of type sections, comprehensive plan, a letter from the Millville Volunteer Fire Company in support, reference to the Tidewater Utilities area served, and also an aerial photograph, a site plan, a photograph of the tanks proposed, proposed conditions if the use is to be approved, and a proposed finding of fact also if the use were to be approved. That is a part of the record and has been a part of the record since earlier this week. And the commissions all have copies. We received comments from the Department of Transportation June 22nd of 2005. In relationship to this application, the level of service on this road segment is level of service A and will not change as a result of this application, and it was not required to go through a traffic impact study for this application. From the Sussex Conservation District, in the form of a memorandum dated August 14th of 2006, we were advised that the soils on the site, primarily the entire site of the residential plan community, is coastal beach and dune land, Eastboro loamy sand, Cleese loamy sand, and tidal marsh salty. The coastal beach and dune land and the tidal marsh salty have severe limitations. The Eastboro soils have slight limitations for development purposes. The Cleese soils have slight to moderate limitations. The applicants would be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation. In reference to farmland rating, the coastal beach and dune land is considered hydric. The Eastboro and Cleage soils are of statewide importance, and the tidal marsh soil is also considered hydric. They also advise that there are no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches affected, that it may not be necessary for any on-site or off-site drainage improvements. Attached to that memorandum is an aerial infrared showing the site and the surrounding area, and also a copy of soil survey map number 53, also showing the site and the area. From the Sussex County Engineering Department and received earlier today in memorandum form, we received the memorandum. It makes reference that this site is in the Holtz Landing Sanitary Sewer District, that the sewer system design assumption is 4 EDUs per acre. In reference to wastewater capacity, it is not clear what the amount of discharge will enter the sanitary sewer. The current system connection charge rate is $5,161 per EDU. The location and size of laterals would be determined by the county engineer during sewer concept plan review process. Conformity to the South Coastal Area Planning Study will be required. There would be no discharge allowed to the sanitary sewer without the approval of the Operations and Maintenance Department of the County Engineering Division. And a concept plan will be required. That was signed by John Ashman, Director of Utility Planning. And the reference, we also received a letter dated August 17th from the Millville Volunteer Fire Company Incorporated, which would like to go on record supporting the conditional use for the storage and pumping station located within the Ellis Point subdivision. All new and existing construction upgrades of the water system need to be in accordance with the Farm Prevention Commission regulations. The construction of a storage tanks and pumping station will establish a water supply in the area that would benefit us as firefighting operations. They look forward to future upgrades that will allow the fire company to better protect the citizens and property in that area, and thanking the commission for consideration in this matter. And it was signed by Greg Temple, fire chief. And that's all I have, gentlemen, unless you have questions.
All right, sir. Thank you. Is there anyone here representing this application?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Tim Willard with Fuqua and Urey here in Georgetown. This is a conditional use application to place two ground-level storage water tanks on the Ellis Point RPC project. And the reason they're necessary is to make sure that the neighborhoods they serve have adequate pressure for fire prevention. I should point out from the outset that the county has approved an RPC, Ellis Point, which includes this location for one single 75,000-gallon tank just to serve Ellis Point. That's had final site plan approval. So we're coming to you for conditional use approval to put two temporary tanks there and to serve three more neighborhoods. And mainly the reason a conditional use is necessary is because this is hooking up to a main that would go to four other systems or neighborhoods, benefit them, and there are two more tanks being proposed. That's the general summary of the application. Tidewater, the applicant is represented. They've got several players here. I'm going to point them out. You know Jerry Esposito is right there. Next to him is Jeremy Kalmbacher with Tidewater. In front of them is Bruce Patrick. That's the Tidewater team. Cabe is the engineer on the project, and that's Steve Lewandowski, who's raising his hand there in case you all have questions. And you all know Rich Polk of Cadera. Ellis Point was a Cadera project. The history of the site is simply what I've already alluded to, that it was approved for an agricultural RPC. The final site plan was approved and includes this pumping station. And we're asking that we be allowed to put two tanks there that will be described in more detail, and that they allowed to be connected to the main to support pressure for the other neighborhoods. And as I said, it was originally designed to be a 175,000-gallon tank. We're asking for two 30,000-gallon tanks that would be temporary and serve four additional neighborhoods. For the record, I just want to touch on some of the law on the case. This is a conditional use, which is guided by 155-171, which calls for a public or semi-public purpose, and we submit to you that water supply is. Title 20, Section 6904 also requires that the county follow their comp plan, and their comp plan should address water supply, which this does. Your comp plan and your public water systems map identifies the area at Ellis Point as an area that's potential for future public works. It's already partially being served for public works, and this would be an expansion and improvement of that. Quite frankly, what is intended for this area down the road is, like most areas that are in development area, to have a central elevated tank to help support the whole system. So this should be temporary. The fact that it's in an RPC does not change the conditional use application. As Mr. Robertson would tell you, that CUs are appropriate as they are in the underlying zoning. Your land use plan for environmentally sensitive development districts in the comp plan calls under water supply. They identify the area as several privately owned companies provide water service in this area, and this is your comp plan. Expansion of these services plus a potential county water system is desirable. Finally, this is in a strategies one level, which calls for placement of existing systems for improved efficiency and enhancement. So, all in all, this minor change is consistent with not only the county law, state law, but their strategies. You also have received, for the record, a letter from the fire marshal's office, Millville Volunteer Fire Company. And ultimately, and some of the engineers might be able to speak to more specifically to this, some regulations have changed, which requires that the water system put out 500 gallons per minute for at least an hour. So what? Okay, they're all nodding. That's good. I got that. but so what this does is it gives you two 30,000-gallon tanks, which gives you that added pressure and emergency supply if you need it. There's plenty of water to serve these neighborhoods now, and Tidewater is currently serving a lot of them in this area. Some are being built now for domestic use, but really what this added tankage is for fire prevention. On tab 5, you'll look at a close-up of what's over here, which is the Bay Colony District. And if you'll look at the Ellis Point, you'll see that green dot with a darker dot. That's the pumping station where it's located. And that's you'll see where the site plan in more detail describes that. The red check line describes where it would hook into the main, and thereby it would serve those neighborhoods. Ellis Point, Seagrass Plantations, Preserves at Iron Landing, and Greens at Indian River. If you turn to the next tab, it gives you an aerial view, and that may be a few years old, as you can tell. Preserves or Greens at Indian River is already built out, but you'll show exactly where the site is located. It is wooded. It's the developer's intention to try to preserve as many woods as possible that are there, with the intention to reforest when they're removed. So there will be no tanks there in a matter of years so that it can be reforested. And you have an aerial photograph of that. Tab 7 is the engineering drawing. And if you have questions on that, the engineers can speak to that. It gives you the details and the dimensions of the tank. Photograph 8 are not the actual tanks. In fact, there's nothing there. But they depict similar tanks that are sitting on a pile of dirt specifically. And the conditional use would limit the use to this kind of tank. They are 30,000 gallons. They're 46 feet long. They're 10 and a half feet in diameter. They're 12 feet high. In this case, they'd be temporary. I had noted, and you can see in the site plan, there's one access road provided for this. There'll be a pumping station there. The trips generated by this, DLDOT obviously recognizes making no change, but the actual trips might be every other day. just to check on it. There's no service, manufacturing, or anything, or production there, and there's no well there. You have suggested proposed conditions, which is consistent with the description that I've given you here with the site plan. We expect normal sort of security lighting to face them. We intend to paint them sort of a pale neutral green so they'll blend in. They may have lettering on it for Tidewater's utilities. These tanks are designed according to the AWA standards, like the elevated tanks. And obviously the site plan would be subject to your review. The findings, in addition, are a list of statements which more formally express what I think this presentation does, in fact, which is this is consistent with all your plans. It's a public purpose. It's for the benefit and the welfare of these neighborhoods. And that's all I have as far as my presentation. If you have any questions for my clients or me.
All right, sir, we'll see. Thank you. Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Mr. Willard, the area is going to be fenced with a slatted fence, providing security and privacy screening.
I went over that and meant to address it, so I'm glad you did. We didn't include that as a condition because we'll do either. If you think fencing is appropriate, we'll fence it with slats, or we could landscape it with Leyland cypresses. That if you put big ones in, even though it's temporary, they grow pretty fast. And the applicant has told me that they'll do either, quite frankly, that you prefer. There shouldn't be a safety issue really here because of the dimensions of them and the actual what's going on there. But
right. I was just noticing on this site plan, if we asked a fence, Mr. Lanky, it'd have to be no more than 6 foot high, correct?
It could be 7 feet high.
It could be seven, but not the 8 indicated on this.
You can condition that'd be higher. Because of the purpose of screening.
I see.
So it can be higher.
Okay.
And it also sits back from the road anyway, so it doesn't impact anybody as far as visibility.
So currently we have the fence on the site plan, but it's not a proposed condition. So if you want to spell it out more.
Can I interrupt to say, is there a requirement that it be fenced for security? I'm just surprised that there's not, since it's a public water supply. I don't know the answer to that, but.
This Bruce, state your name, please.
Bruce Patrick. I'm Vice President of Engineering with Tidewater Utilities. Obviously, the booster station would be locked up. I mean, the tanks, no one could really get into. We're trying to disturb the site as little as we possibly can, being it's a temporary nature. But at the same time, if you wish for a fence, we would certainly do that.
My question was more whether, regardless of what the commission said, whether it was a requirement anyway, in today's day and age, they're required. I thought stuff like this to be fenced. I just wasn't sure.
Right. No, there's no requirement.
Thanks. Sorry, Mr. Smith.
You don't anticipate any noise over and above what would be normal by the existing pump station?
No, you shouldn't really hear anything. Everything's contained in the booster station. Noise would be minimal.
And you're showing a parking area, but you indicate only probably routine maintenance once a day, one trip.
Yeah, just once a day would be the very most. It probably would be every couple of days.
Is there any provision should these tanks have spillage or leak? Is there a way to protect?
We certainly
keep that volume of water on property or direct it to a ditch that would take it away.
We certainly monitor that very closely, and anytime we certainly see pressure drops, I mean we're essentially on call 24/7 and could actually shut down the supply to the facility if need be to get that fixed.
So you've got some type of alarm or something. Should there be a leak, you notice a drop in pressure, then
right.
Technician
right.
Could go ahead and respond.
Yes.
Okay. This is right across the lane, I believe, from Lands Estate of Delaware. That would be Holt's Landing State Park.
Yes. Yes, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm. And that's an area where I know they allow upland hunting. I see these tanks would be built to the AWA standards. How would they hold up to a 12-gauge, 3-inch rifled slug with a muzzle velocity of 1,400 feet a second or greater?
That's a tough question. I honestly do not know. I mean, they're certainly not designed to be shot at.
I suspect you'd see a pressure drop, though.
It probably wouldn't do as much damage as it does to a deer.
No other questions.
I just have one. Mr. Willer, in your proposed conditions, you didn't address the fact that these are temporary, that you would, once they're removed, you reforest the area?
Yeah, and we certainly did not do that on purpose.
Okay. Would you be willing to put that in your proposed conditions?
Absolutely.
Okay. That's all I have.
All right, sir. Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Weller, originally there was approval for a 75,000 tank, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And that was just to service Ellis Point. Now you're coming in requesting just 60,000 and you're going to service a couple of other projects. Is that going to still provide you with sufficient capacity and pressure?
I'm afraid I had the same question and I got to defer to an engineer because you're servicing a lot more neighborhoods with less sizes, so it's a good question.
Yeah, the original plan was for the 75,000-gallon tank originally for the existing community, and we had plans that community and the nearby community may grow in the future, so it was sized a little bit larger. The plan now, the 60,000 gallons worth of storage is more than adequate fire protection. It meets all the codes, but we're going to isolate it to those communities, and over the next 2 to 3 years as planned development occurs, we're going to interconnect it with what we call our nearby Bethany Bay Ocean View District, which has multiple existing elevated storage tanks, so we will remove them at that time.
Thank you. And no further questions.
Mr. Burton, my questions have been answered.
Mr. Lang?
Stay up there just for a second. Mr. Willard made reference that there's a 75,000-gallon capacity existing. How does that relate as far as location to this two proposed 30,000-gallon tanks?
The actual layout is very similar.
Mr. Lank, if it would help, I've copied 8.5 and 11 of the what's been approved by final site plan, so you can compare it to what's.
I'm just trying to see where location is, because I didn't see it on site plan for the drawing that was submitted with this application. Okay.
It's the same general overall location. The overall area is the same. The two 30,000-gallon tanks would be sort of to the back left corner as you're pulling into the site.
Okay. But how does that relate to this? Where's the 75,000-gallon tank?
May I approach?
Yeah.
I just didn't see it on site plan. I saw the pump station out front.
This when you say the 75,000-gallon tank,
okay,
that's what's on the final site plan approved.
I know, it just didn't show up on this site plan. That's what I was getting at.
Oh, I understand.
That's all. Okay.
But it's in the same location, this proposal as detailed.
How long do you define as temporary?
We anticipate within about a 3-year period. We have it in our 5-year capital program. We're projecting about 3 years out for the interconnection.
So
could be two years, could be 4 years.
If the commission stipulated or council stipulated 3 to 5 years, would you have an objection?
3 to 5 years seems appropriate.
That's all I have.
All right. Mr. Robertson?
Kind of following up with what Mr. Lank asked, for these to be temporary, is the expansion that you described, does that require additional conditional uses from the county to complete so that you can take these away? Or does it tie into existing tanks? In other words, do you have to come back in here, get a conditional use approval at some point in the future to be able to take these temporary tanks out?
I believe Tim can certainly answer the legal side, but I believe to do an interconnection with our existing district simply with water main.
Okay, that's what I was asking.
Yeah,
so it's just a water main at this point. So.
Yeah, I do not believe that requires a CU.
Okay, that's all I needed. Thanks.
All right, sir. Thank you. Gentlemen, we'll see if anyone has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here who would like to speak in favor of conditional use 1677 Tidewater Utilities? Is there anyone here who would like to speak in opposition to conditional use 1677? Oh, yes, sir. Come right up. Please give us your name and address and tell us what's on your mind.
My name is John Griffiths. I'm a resident of the Greens at Indian River, which is adjacent to the Ellis Point development. And I'm not really here to speak in opposition, although I raised my hand when you asked that question. I'm here more to express a couple comments and opinions, if I may do so.
You may.
Our main concern at this point is purely, I'll say, selfish or personal, because we are the one property in that adjoining development that has been most impacted so far, by far. And at this particular point, with the we do realize the benefits, not only to Ellis Point, but to the Green and the whole area. And we know down the road that these benefits are definitely going to, you know, work in our favor. But in the interim, in the, whether it be 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, et cetera, it's basically our backyard where all this is taking place.
Right.
So as I said, I'm coming from a selfish standpoint. My first question would be, is there no other place on site that this could be put in? Does it have to be where the plan calls for it as of right now?
I'll sort of handle that one. There's sort of two answers. It could go anywhere on site, I suppose, if they'd applied for it. The reason I think that they applied for it in this particular place, and Mr. Willard, if I'm wrong in this, one is it looks like it's right behind an existing sewer pump station, but two, it's in the same location that was approved in the prior site plan, so they were being consistent with what they came through and got approval for whenever it was, 2 or 3 years ago, I guess.
Right. So, would it be at all feasible to relocate it, or would it be a tremendous burden?
I suppose that's a question the commission can ask the applicant if they want.
I would. My concern with that, sir, and I empathize with your situation, but I rather suspect that any place they put this thing is going to be in somebody's backyard.
Not really that well.
And it's only going to be there for a specified period of time. And the other situation is that we have to act on what's being presented
exactly.
to us. So we either have to say yes or no to this. We can't say, well, how about putting it over here? This is what they presented us with. But I do empathize with you, with your situation. And I think if it were approved, in fact, I would not support it myself if there weren't some language in the stipulations that said that when they're done with it, that it's going to be restored landscaping, and which they've already said that they mm-hmm. that they will do. So.
Well, that was my one other question, because I've already met with Mr. Polk and Mr. Blanchard from Caldera,
uh-huh.
and I'm very pleased with, you know, the way they've approached it and what they plan. And if it does have to be there, which it looks like it will be, their approach to it and how it would be handled, et cetera, was very satisfactory to my family and I. And from what I've heard from Tidewater tonight, it would be very satisfactory. You know, what we would ask is that they would be very judicious in how much they took and so forth, and you know, if they would try and leave as much, since it is of a temporary nature, as much of the vegetation that's there. We're talking like 100-year-old, 100-foot oaks, et cetera. I know some have to go. There's no doubt about it. But if, you know, as judicious as possible. And then I heard the comment about whether, you know, whether it be fencing or Leland cypress, et cetera. While it is temporary, would there be... I know that they said when it was done and out of there that there'd be reforestation, which we appreciate. But before it is out of there, would there be the chance of some planting and, a natural-type fence line, like they were saying with Leland cypress, et cetera, to make it maybe a little less visible from our backyard?
I think that was what they testified to, yes, sir. And I can assure you that your comments, if the commission recommends approval, will, I'm sure, would be accompanied by some stipulation to that regard. So the good intentions of the applicant in that instance are going to be reinforced by the fact that they have to do it. So, but I'm sure that what you're saying will be taken under consideration.
Excellent. That's pretty much all we can ask for at this point. I appreciate your time. Thank you for hearing
me. Yes, sir. Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak in opposition to a conditional use 1677? Is there anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to spend the rest of your Thursday evening with us to see if we make a decision, or you may call the office in the morning. Our next